Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners. Good morning, or good evening, or good afternoon.
Or goodbye.
Yeah, for people who've hated it already, yeah, goodbye.
That's enough.
Done. I've listened to 6 seconds of that and it was bullshit. Done.
I hate them. I hate them so much.
They just sound like pricks, didn't they, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. That first guy especially, but then when that second guy started talking, that was just enough for me. I'm done.
Yeah, one dickhead, and then you think you've hit max dickhead.
You think you've hit rock bottom, and then two dickheads.
What is this?
What is this? This is a film podcast where we talk absent-mindedly about movies that we've seen, and a lot of the time, movies we haven't seen as well.
What do you mean?
Well, we might speculate wildly about what's on at the cinema, or talk about, you just go, oh, have you seen that? You go, no.
If you want to listen to two men in their 30s in a room talking, you've come to the right bloody place.
Come to the right place. We've seen some films in the cinema this week. Favourite home of films, cinema.
Do you want to talk about yours first?
Sure. I went to see a film called Frank.
What's it about?
Frank is, interestingly... it is loosely based upon the life of Frank Sidebottom, who was a character played by a comedian called Chris Seavey.
Yes.
And you appear to have lost something.
I'm checking that my phone's off.
It's behind you there.
Okay, right, go. Carry on, sorry. Yeah, done it.
Frank Sidebottom, who was a character from the Manchester era, I guess, of British culture, who was a northern comic with a big... papier-mâché head who did stuff. And this is nothing to do with him. But Michael Fassbender plays the character with that head on. But this is a fictional biography of an American avant-garde musician.
It's not about Frank Sidebottom.
Nothing about him at all.
Because we used to have that Frank Sidebottom would do not make like, a George Formby type text to make songs. Me and my brother used to listen to him quite... funny, weird songs. They've just taken the head of Frank Sidebottom.
No, well, they haven't. John Ronson, who used to be keyboardist for Frank Sidebottom.
Okay.
And wrote a book that is a completely fictional life of Frank Sidebottom, but is sort of embodying the spirit of the character.
Mm.
And this film is based upon that book. And Ronson's co-written the screenplay as well. So it's one of those things where it's a complete fiction... but is sort of trying to evoke the spirit of someone rather than the facts about them.
And automatically, I want to hate it.
It's brilliant. It's really good.
It's got mixed reviews, though, right?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I really loved it. It's got so much heart in it. Frank is played by Michael Fassbender, as I've mentioned. Maggie Gyllenhaal is his in his band. And that Gleeson guy, who isn't Brendan Gleeson... who was in that...
About Time.
Yeah, I bet in the time-travelling Richard Curtis film.
Is his name Fergal or something?
Yeah, something like that, isn't it? He plays John, who is the lead character, who is a wannabe musician who can play the keyboards and serendipitously ends up in a situation where he can join this band.
Domhnall Gleeson.
Domhnall, thank you. Anyway, he joins them and is taken on this sort of whirlwind voyage in crazy people that evokes really the sort of the mental headspace and the methods of people like Don Van Bleek, Captain Beefheart, and Daniel Johnson. It's very like, have you seen the documentary The Devil and Daniel Johnson about a contemporary of Kurt Cobain and all that lot, who was genuinely mentally ill? But and it's all about that. But it's a really quirky little film, and it's really fun. Really fun. It's funny. Not perfect. It is funny. I laughed out loud a fair few times.
Is that Donald Gleeson really annoying? Because he annoyed the shit out of me in about time.
He isn't annoying. He's sort of perfectly cast. He plays this character who so wants to be interesting, but isn't. And that's sort of his fatal flaw, this character. That he wants to be the kind of person that people follow and are mystified by and find attractive and interesting. He wants
like me.
Like you. He wants to be you, but with a styrofoam head on. Right.
Not far off.
And he just can't be. And that's his ultimate frustration. So in his frustration, he keeps trying to control everything. And it's a really, I think, actually quite a... I think it's a unique story. I've not seen that before, but it's very well done. At times, it is a bit too on the nose with its... screenplay structure dialogue, where it's a bit too, this is exactly what is happening in the screenplay and I'm saying it out loud at this time, only once or twice, but it's lovely as a film.
From the trailers, it just seems like some people mucking around in a hut in the country.
That's mostly it, yeah. I mean, it's evoking a famous story about Captain Beefheart, where he just locked his band away until they finished the album, however long that took, and so he was a madman really in a lot of ways, but they all have to embrace it. But there's a running thing how the keyboardists always go insane and then try to kill themselves.
Oh, okay.
It's got a dark streak to it as well.
Who directed it? Who made it?
I'm trying to remember now. I'll have to look it up, I'm afraid. I wasn't familiar with their stuff.
Were there lots of people in the cinema when you were watching it?
No. There were about 8 of us. I
Did
think.
People laugh out loud?
Yeah, they liked it. They liked it. Lenny Abrahamson.
Okay.
He did Adam and Paul, What Richard Did, if you've heard of that. No, I don't know his stuff. But what I did find fascinating, because I didn't know Frank Sidebottom's story. He was sort of before my time, or he passed me by. And I've only heard sort of, you know, I know him sort of by reputation, but I'd never seen any of his stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't know much about the man. So when it got to this thing about a band, I was like, oh, this isn't what I thought I knew, but okay. And all the way going through, like you often get with biographies or things based on true stories, you want to know more about the truth of it. Okay. It was only afterwards that I looked it up and went, oh, the entire thing's a fiction. That's amazing.
Do you think it's a bit weird for the memory of him? If someone made a David Reed film,
well,
and it was about a trapeze artist.
Well,
who constantly shut himself. Would you be annoyed? And he'd be like, "Oh, Marek's writing this thing about David Reed." And then we'd go, "Oh, yeah, he's a trapeze artist."
Trapeze artist really did embody the spirit of me in some way, in some part of me, I am really at heart a shitting trapeze artist. Then fair enough, I'd say.
You wouldn't mind. Everyone would be talking about Dave. Oh, Dave Reed, that's a guy that...
All films are fictions, all stories are fictions. Some of, you know, you use fiction to tell the truth.
Yeah, this is like a liberal person's kind of argument.
He gave it his blessing before he died as well.
That's what they say.
Well, that's what John Ronson said.
Have they got that recorded evidence?
Well, John Ronson, as the keyboardist who desperately wants to be the other guy but can't be and is now writing a story about him that's a fiction. I mean, it's
okay, so
wheels within wheels.
I'm going to make up this job. If I hope you don't, but if something bad happens... And I write a film about you, I'm going to say, oh, David Reed gave me his blessing. And I quote this podcast.
Well, I don't, and I'm saying it right now. This
said,
is now...
You just said a minute ago...
I said,
if the spirit does
evoke my spirit in some way.
And I'll just say, it's exactly... Whoever plays it, exactly what he's like.
Okay. Another thing I thought was interesting was, when I was you hear the band playing their songs, and I go... I really like that. I wonder what the original was like.
Same song?
Yeah, because, you know, it's obviously the actors singing it and playing it. And there is no original. The actors...
Wrote a song.
Wrote the songs and were playing that. That is Michael Fassbender singing it, and those are his lyrics. Like, it's like, That's amazing.
Is he really that talented, Fassbender? I'm fascinated to see.
Oh, he's really...
I'm fascinated.
He is really good in this. I really enjoyed it. It's not a perfect film, but it is a very enjoyable one.
A good date film.
Yeah? Why?
I just imagine it's sort of it seems like a quite a middle of the road film.
Is that what you think about Domhnall Gleeson as the sort of middle of the road date film?
He's the new... You know, the British cinema has its favourites, the sort of in between. I'm a bit bitter because I'm only ever going to get character parts. So I think people just have these people who think, I think are pretty average, and they just get all the parts and everything. He seems to be the new face of British stuff.
Really? It's only the second thing he's done, and this is a very outsider indie.
But still.
Okay. Well, I think you need to just email that guy, meet up, and have it out with him.
Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
I met an actor who was...
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Who said he was? Who just did a bit with Brendan Gleeson, his dad. He was really moody.
So I met Brendan Gleeson and he was lovely.
Just base everything on hearsay that someone met someone on a bad day, use that to judge that person.
Oh, Domhnall Gleeson's in Harry Potter.
I bet he's in bloody everything. Oh, he's one of the Weasleys.
He's one of the Weasleys.
Yeah, they'll get everywhere.
There you go. He's the he's the uptight Weasley who tries to control everything.
So that's where he got the casting.
Yeah, probably.
Just need to get one job and it will happen for you. That's what I keep saying to myself, just get one job.
Can I play the shitting trapeze artist? Then I'll get all the shitting trapeze artist gigs.
No, but you only have to play that if I die and you think that's a fair representation of me.
Okay. Well, I'll play you as a shitting trapeze artist. Is this now a mutual pact?
Well, no, you've got to think... You can't say that I'm... That's, if you think that's the best representation of me, shitting... Trapeze artist, that's fine. So I'm sighing because I'm looking on the internet and for some reason this kicks on my computer.
A Tony and Guy advert.
Every time I click on my computer, a Tony and Guy fashion cover comes up. And I think it's quite another one. What's happening? I'm bald. I don't want a good Tony and Guy.
What have you clicked on to enter into there?
On IMDb, and for some reason what I've clicked on is somehow associated itself with Tony and Guy.
What happens when I click on IMDb?
This might be some sick joke. And now it's happening again! I can't get rid of... I want to read out our listeners' letters, but Tony and Guy are haunting my computer.
IMDb brings up Kindle Fire advert for me. They want to sell me tablets.
I can't work out. My computer's a Tony and Guy virus. How many Davids would you give it then?
I think I'd give it 8. I really enjoyed it and it stayed with me in a sort of good way. It's an odd film. It is an odd film. It's not a mainstream film at all, but it's got a lot of heart in it.
Sounds nice. Sounds real nice. I've got a letter here. Just while we're talking about we finished talking about.
Yeah, I'm done, yeah.
While we're talking about Shitting Trapeze Artist, a few weeks ago we talked about a film, Bumboats, the Walter Mitty.
That's right, yeah, Bumboats.
Here's the letter. I'm just going to do it normal because we've got quite a few. Thank you for emailing in, by the way. This is Dear Marek, David and Buddy, long time listener, first time emailer inner. First off, Bumboats, which you floated, see what I did there, as a possible spin off to Mitty, in which the eponymous hero gets repeatedly violated by Russian sailors. A bumboat is a legitimate thing. It is a small boat used to ferry supplies from the mainland to a larger boat at anchor. In the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta HMS Pinafore, the character Little Buttercup is described as a bumboat woman.
Ah.
The most disturbing portrayal of Little Buttercup is that given by Matt Damon in Robert De Niro's CIA epic The Good Shepherd. It is also possible to get bumboat excursions in Singapore. And it's an emailed link if anyone wants to go...
Go on a bumboat tour.
Just look up citytours.sg/bumboat.
little buttercup, dear little buttercup.
As you will see, the word bumboat has a long and honourable history. And not just as a vehicle in which Ben Stiller nonsenseless by horny Ruskies. Although after Mitty, it will be a fitting punishment. Thank you, Martin Alcock. And he's... nicely put in a lot of pictures which no one will be able to appreciate on this email. We've had a lot of Walter Mitty reaction. I went to see Walter Mitty and really slagged it off. Ryan Goodyear has emailed in. Would you like to... He's from Jersey, the Channel Islands, but currently lives in Auckland, New Zealand. He would like, however, the accent of the New Jersey, let's say, the shore.
What?
New Jersey.
I can't accent. Do a New Jersey accent.
Okay, just do Channel Islands then.
Oh yeah, my off the peg Channel Islands accent.
You need to be...
He means New Jersey as in American New Jersey,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, like the Bon Jovi album.
Jersey. It's like that, isn't it? You do it then, you can do it then.
No, I can't be two in a row.
Yeah, you can. I've been talking about Frank a lot. You do New Jersey accent.
Here's Ryan Goodyear.
Bada bing, bada boom.
What shoes? I just paused the podcast 130 to send you my letter, my first letter.
Really have to focus to understand.
With thoughts on the secret life of Walter Mitty.
It's getting a bit Russian there.
It's nonsense. It's nonsense, Merrick. I concur. It was a 440-minute advert in the sense that it looked nice, it attempted to sell, but ultimately meant nothing. Like yourselves, I haven't read the source, but you get the impression that the flights of imagination held more importance and said more about the man than they did in the film. I like Christian Wig, surely said Wig in red closed brackets, but felt that Walter should reassess his sexuality and life choices as he immediately got tremendously well with Mr. E. Harmony, was immensely, if that makes sense, enriched and positively challenged by every phone call. Not one for Hollywood, though. I give it 5 Ryans.
He also said he watched Upstream Colour. Watched Upstream Colour and let me know what it's all about. Watched it this weekend and confident I understood half. Brilliant ideas, wonderful opening 20 minutes, though. Upstream Colour is the second film with Shane Carruth, who we reviewed Primer, which is one of the most mental films.
Yeah,
it's about time travel. And Upstream Colour, he shot on just like a GH2, which is the same camera as you've got, David.
Oh, wow.
A really low budget thing. So I will watch that soon. So he also hated
Walter Mitty.
But there's another email about Walter Mitty.
It's a popular topic. I'll read this one.
Yeah, this is from, he's emailed before, I like this guy, Canon Graal,
whose accent is, it's like a barbarian, isn't it?
Yeah, barbarian.
Okay.
Hey guys, specifically Marek the Cynical. I happened to watch Walter Mitty right before podcast 130 and couldn't disagree more with Marek's review. The movie's message isn't about running away on holiday when you lose your job. It's about the death of romanticism. They actually show on screen how careful Walter is with money and also say he hasn't been anywhere ever. After 16 years working at Life, you'd think he'd have money saved up if he's never used it for a holiday. But he doesn't because they have to sell the piano. But then he gets what is obviously a hefty severance check too.
I'm not even a quarter of the way through this. My voice is going to be killed by doing this.
That's the sacrifice. I mean, we should say spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah.
Walter Mitty spoilers.
Anyway, it's another way of showing Walter is a part of the old way of things. He clearly doesn't use credit cards, whereas massive credit debt is a scourge in younger people today.
Yeah.
He also had an old flip mobile phone, like he got one once he'd, but isn't interested in keeping up with the Joneses. And sure, there's product placement, like there is in everything. 24 would have only had 2 series on TV if it wasn't for Ford. But that can go either one of 2 ways. They could have had an off-brand Papa Jack's, and people will go, what? Couldn't afford the real thing? Or they could use Papa John's and ground it in real life. Considering the movie takes place at Life magazine and not a made-up magazine, it makes sense for every other brand in the movie to be real. Besides, they never mention that Papa John's in Greenland was a good thing. If anything, they treat franchising like the cancer it is. It'd be like watching a sci-fi movie where there's a McDonald's on the moon.
What?
I don't know what he's talking about.
E-Harmony doesn't quite come off as being useful either, though the arc of the film, through the arc of the film, Walter does these crazy things because he wants to build up his profile and impress Cheryl, Christian Veig. But as soon as he starts doing these things, he quits E-Harmony because he realizes it's a ridiculous reason to do anything. Gah! I could go on defending it many other ways, but I won't.
Has he been defending it?
It's been odd because I think he's... See,
it hasn't sounded like a defence to me.
It is a defence, though.
Okay.
I'm sure you're bored of my email already. I cried at the end of this movie when they revealed...
Whoa, I've not seen it. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
When they revealed...
Don't say it.
He doesn't say it. He just says...
Okay.
When they revealed what the photo was, he spent all his time chasing. It was fantastic. But then I'm the kind of guy who still watches network TV. I don't have Netflix. I think social media is actually anti-social media.
Well, right on.
I still read physical magazines on a monthly basis.
Yeah, I love physical magazines.
Why you don't bully him?
I still... It's physical magazines.
That's what you've got to say, though, isn't it? What? You've got to differentiate between the internet magazines and the physical magazines.
No, you don't. What's an internet magazine?
That's what magazines are. But he's talking about the actual thing to hold in your hand
rather than...
I still wear a watch. I don't even have any kind of mobile phone, flip or smart. I identified with old school Walter. Obviously, I'm not cool like you, which is why my views differ so much. Winky smiley face. I would recommend giving it another go. It's anything but cynical. Sure, they may have had to resort to cynical means to get it made, but that's how the industry works now. It's a means to an end. Try watching it again with just the end part in mind, like how you might enjoy a sausage because you've blocked out of your mind what they're made of. Keep watching the films. I don't expect you to read this, any of it, on the show. Sorry it's so long, fellas. Love the show. Bye.
We read all of it.
We read the whole thing. Thank you, Canon Grass.
I think that's good. Obviously, we appreciate all your opinions, and I disagree with all of those. But it's fair enough. I don't think there is a hopeful message to it, but I'm suspicious about it. Incidentally, if you want to read the story, which I have since read, someone posted and I put on our Facebook wall.
Yes.
And it always you put in the Walter Mitty. It's based on a short story in Time magazine. I can't remember. It's only about 1,000 words. The original Walter Mitty story.
Oh, right.
It's a really famous short story. It's really great. Have a look on our Facebook page. And do you want to do this bit when you talk about how you email in and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah,
it's
sure.
Much more succinct when it comes from you.
Yeah, thank you for your emails, guys. If you're listening out there and would like us to read your email out in an episode, then why not email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can write on our Facebook page. We can read those out as well, facebook.com/filmfandango. Or if you just like to post some film-related stuff and share it with the listeners, you can put it there. Or you can tweet us, @FilmFandango, or if you want to give us personal abuse, @MrDavidRees or @MarekLarwood.
What do you mean personal abuse?
Well, that's what Twitter's for, isn't it?
Bill Boswell's sent in an app, which is brilliant.
What is it?
Well, you know, I always seem to go for a wee at the wrong time.
Don't I ever?
There is an app called RunPee... spelled RUNPEE. This is not just piss. Sorry, I should put it in context. I always, when I'm watching a film in the cinema,
yes,
I always need to go to the loo at some point because they're all 3 hours long, and I drink a massive bottle of
Coca-Cola. I went to the cinema to see the original Alien because it was being re-shown in town, and you'd think that's a fairly specialist thing. You would have thought people going to see that, they love films, right?
Yeah,
they must do. 8 people got up and went to the loo and then came back down the rows during that film. 8.
Mm.
All of them women.
Hmm, I don't know what that means.
Cystitis.
Okay. The app is called RunPee and it tells you the best time to run for a pee during a film.
As in, which is the boring bit?
And it says, it gives you a quote, when to go... And it tells you what happened during the pee time.
Can you test it? Have you got it there?
No, I'm going to try it next time. Run,
okay.
This is brilliant. I don't know how much it costs. It's got a couple of... it's great. Bill Boswell, he posted on our Facebook site. It's great. I'm really pleased. I think it could change my life.
So they're just rating the most irrelevant, boring bit of a film
the exposition.
I wonder if I left at the right time in Prometheus. We should check that.
Almost you want to check when you've gone, if you have gone at the right time.
Yeah.
And it's sort of quite an indictment on your film if you've got...
a time, then you
or
could
Or more
go.
Than one time. If you've got like 50 or 60 P time, you know, just go for a massive piss for the until the end bit.
This list of possible cues for me to go to a toilet is the whole script.
Yeah.
It's just the whole film.
So you can judge how bad the film is by how many P times are on Rumpy, probably.
Yeah, that's a good rating.
Also, if you want to, this podcast, we just relies on funding from you to pay for our Libsyn subscription, and if there's any left over, which there normally isn't, for us to go and see films. So you can donate, really helps. Thank you so much to anyone who's donated so far to pay for this, to stay, keep all episodes online. And you just go to filmfandango.co.uk, click on the donate button, and any donations are really gratefully received. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So shall I talk about
what did you go see?
I went to go and see a film.
Oh, good choice.
As usual, I do think it has been, I said a couple of weeks ago, this is almost the leanest period I've ever... They're still showing the hotel... What's it called?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, the same film for 3 weeks in my cinema.
It's still the wireless password at the Curzon Soho.
Oh, OK. That chewing in the background is Buddy eating a bone.
Sorry, mate. It's a bit noisy.
Oh,
thank
no.
Thank you.
And you can see his sad face when he's had the bone taken off. That's terrible. I know you've got to do it. And now, David, the backstory is David is giving Buddy that he just de-squeaked the toy for him. And as usual,
it's
that is
make
the sirens going
air.
Off in the background.
What did you go and see at the cinema?
I went to see a film called Blue Ruin. I've got a theory.
Right?
That every film with blue in the title is brilliant. Blue Valentine was really good. I've seen lately. My favourite film of last year, as I banged on about practically every episode, is Blue is the Warmest Colour.
Yeah.
Blue Velvet, another classic film.
Yeah, that's right.
Blue Jasmine was
the
great last
year. Three Colours Bleu.
I've not seen that.
It's good.
Blue Ruin. Now this
there is... must be a bad film. that's my challenge. Tell me, what's the plot of Blue Ruin? What is it?
Okay. This is an independent film which did really well at all the film festivals last year and has got a wider release. The plot is there's a guy, he's in his car, which is a blue ruin, living in his car, and when he finds out that the man who murdered his parents has been released from prison, so he returns back to where he used to live to on a vengeance mission. That is about all I should reveal of it. I know in the past, regular listeners, all 18 million of you, I would want to go and see an action film, so I always slagged off action films. This is a suspense filled violent. It reminded me of, there's a British director called Ben Wheatley, and his films are quite violent, like Kill, he does the films I really like, Kill List and
yeah.
Down Terrace, his first film. It's almost an American version of that.
Oh really?
They shot it all on a C300, which is a low budget camera. The budget for it, I'll go into budget later on. It's so this guy who plays the lead goes back on his vengeance mission, and it's just things go wrong. He gets involved in this. The group, the family that the murderer is from, is like a real criminal family. It's quite complicated what's going on. It's dramatic, tense, exciting. It feels so tight. It feels like it's 90 minutes long, and it feels it's really tightly written, exciting. I'm going to say dramatic for the 800th time. I loved it. I really loved it, and it's so refreshing to see a lead. He's not, you know, when you see something, oh, he's a brilliant actor. Who is the actor? A bloke called Macon Blair, or mate spelled Macon Blair. It's directed by Jeremy Saulnier, and who wrote it as well. So you see this actor in a part, and you think, oh, he's great. What's he been in before? Because he's got an amazing face, and he's got these sad eyes, and this. The look in his face, this sort of look just of desolation, a really unusual look which is interesting to watch. You can watch his face all day. He's a comic writer who has collaborated with the director, and they put their own money into funding these films. They did it through Kickstarter.
Wow.
They got their own funding. They bought a cheap camera because they realised they had to reshoot stuff. They could go out and shoot it. They did it on 8 locations. They got all the actors in. They pulled favours. They maxed out their credit cards. I think the budget was
proper labour of love.
The budget was about $100,000. They spent all their money. They put all their life. There's good interviews you read online. Look up Jeremy Saulnier. Look up Blue Ruin, and knew about how they made it. This is the film that you should make an effort to see. I know it's probably at the end of its run, or buy this on DVD, or pay for this, because these are the people who are making great cinema, which is more. It's interesting, and it just feels like you're watching something fresh and exciting. And dramatic. It's not a lot of independent films are quite slow, and the action's quite doesn't necessarily work. It's a real action suspense thriller. 90 minutes long, great film. Go and watch this film if you want to see or get it out on when it's released. I loved it, and I think we should be supporting. I know bang on about how much I hate superhero films. These are films we should be supporting. These great filmmakers who are putting their, you know, lives on the line to pursue some art form, and when it's successful, to get behind it. So I implore people, if you want to watch a good film, it's very violent in places. If you like a good action film, watch this. The protagonist, the lead, Malcolm Blair, plays a guy called Dwight, isn't your normal hero. He's a downtrodden person who finds himself in a situation where he has to do things that he's not comfortable with, which makes it all the more interesting. He's not someone who gets into fights and is involved in action sequences. He's a normal person, and I think that makes it all the more exciting, because he seems so normal and he's more vulnerable. So when you're following him getting all these situations, it's scarier, because he's not, you know, your Bruce Willis action person. He's someone who gets hurt.
But they're always the better heroes, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think it used to be the case in major sort of mainstream Hollywood films as well. The likes of your Rocky Balboa's and Indiana Jones's, and in fact Bruce Willis as well. They are sort of freight trains that keep getting knocked down, and they do get knocked down, but they keep getting back up again, all bloodied. Whereas the modern one is a sort of untouchable kung fu god who no one ever bruises.
Yeah.
And that's far less interesting.
Yeah, you're scared when your hero gets hurt, and your hero's vulnerable.
I mean, how many times does Indiana Jones get punched to the dirt or dragged through the dirt by a car or whatever? Like, all the time. He's constantly getting hit. It is. You're absolutely right. It's far more interesting. So, you started this podcast saying you think it's the most fallow week in cinema, and yet we've just had two great films.
I suppose. I think there's not much choice.
There's not a big blockbuster, is what you're saying.
And this was
is the big release this week? There isn't one, is there?
I think people are still going about Frozen. I read an article.
I saw it. I watched it because it's
become a huge cult hit.
It's now the sixth most highest grossing worldwide film of all time, just behind Iron Man 3. That's the sort of level we're talking about for this movie.
The big bosses out at the moment are Tarzan, the animation, look both be awful. Bad Neighbours, didn't we want to go and see it? The Other Woman, and then The Amazing Spider-Man and Rio 2. I think Noah's still out as well.
Yeah.
It's not, but if Blue Ruin's still on, I think we're only on a very few cinemas. Go and see it. I think a couple of people emailed in when I tweeted about it saying it was their favourite film of the year so far. I think it's when it comes out on DVD, you should get it. I keep on repeating myself. I don't want to spoil it at all, because I think it's so easy to spoil this one.
Yeah.
But go and watch Blue Ruin.
Cool. All right, well, I think that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more films.
What are you going to wear?
What am I going to wear? Probably something similar. But
spandex.
But I'll lose the fascinator.
What is the fascinator?
Fascinator's a tiny hat that you wear on the side of your head.
Oh, of course, you had it, yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening, and keep
watching the films. Bye.
Hi,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.